again, I think that it's helpful to differentiate between the slave traders and then the slave owners as different universes. As I said, our work is about slave ownership, and we're beginning to put some dimensions now around the universe that we have. We know from the compensation records that 5 to 10% of the British elites are in those compensation records. And it doesn't matter what definition of elite you take, whether you take MPs or members of the aristocracy, baronets, Lord Lieutenants of the county, whatever traditional measures of political and social elites you take, that number of 5 to 10% is good as a kind of national number for England, I would say. Although we frame it in terms of British, I think that the patterns are very different in Scotland and Wales and Ireland. And this is a four-nation story and probably needs to be analysed, does need to be analysed as a four-nation story. So 5 to 10% of the British elites are in the compensation records. And we can further argue or demonstrate that of the richest individuals dying in the 19th century, 15 to 20% of those were either slave owners or the children of slave owners, or were involved in trades. They made their money in businesses like cotton manufacturing, which quite clearly are directly aligned with slavery through the American Deep South and the provision of cotton. And so those are the numbers for the 19th century, and we can debate whether those are large or small numbers. Occasionally people say correctly, if you're telling us that 5 to 10% of the elites are in the slave database, you're telling us that 90 to 95% are not, and that is correct. What we've found. As I said, I personally find it slightly surprising that in the 19th century, when we think of slavery as being really a fundamentally gone thing, it's an 18th century phenomenon, that 15 to 20% of the richest individuals dying in Britain in the middle of the Industrial Revolution are actually drawing their money from slavery. So that's one of the measures of significance. What we're doing at the moment is looking back into the 18th century and seeing whether those numbers are significantly larger or smaller, those proportions are larger or smaller. We're looking at earlier slave owners from the 1760s and onwards. And then what we've done in our project, and we've tried to express all these results in the public database that exists from the Legacy of British Slave Ownership project. And that database is searchable. You can search it for your family name, but you can also search it for places where you live in Britain, places where people lived in the Caribbean, to see what connections we've established between the slave owners and particular pieces of both 19th century and to an extent modern Britain. And we've developed a series of what we call legacy strands. And again, those are easily findable and searchable in the database. But what we're trying to do is catalogue those houses, those paintings, those cultural institutions that we can say with clarity were founded and funded with money from slave ownership. And the point of cataloguing these is not so much to point fingers, but to get to an empirical base for trying to answer the question of how important slavery was. It's your question, how important was slavery to Britain's social and cultural fabric? And as I say, we're trying to do that by building up this mass of individual examples. In the end, of course, you have to stand back and say, so what does this represent? But one of the outcomes of this, one of the side effects perhaps, is that for any given locality, it's possible to use the database to navigate and find the slave owners who lived in particular areas. And they were concentrated in predictable places. Obviously in London, there were many. In Liverpool, there are many. In Bristol, there are many. Those conventional centres of interest in the slave trade and then of slave goods. But slave owners are found all the way across the country, and there are very few towns and cities and villages, indeed, in Britain that we've looked at where there is no slave owner within a kind of 20-mile radius. And as I say, we're providing the ability to map those slave owners onto Britain in a way that we hope will be helpful for other researchers and for schools and universities.